Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And please indulge me for a minute in a couple of verses of a song that I think is appropriate for today. Christ has nobody now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he sees compassion on this world. Yours are the feet in which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands in which he blesses all the world. Now, besides the surprise of me starting out with a song for the sermon, I'm sure you're wondering what these verses have to do with today's gospel, which you know was a very long one. This is a lesson about Jesus and a Samaritan woman. And later in my sermon, I hope I'll point out exactly what those verses have in common with today's lesson. And you may indeed figure it out yourself as I go along. But before I start, let me go back just a little and tell you what has happened up to this point. You see, Jesus has been with his disciples in the countryside of Judea, baptizing many people. John was also baptizing in Anon near Salim. And there were some heated discussions going on with the Pharisees that Jesus was baptizing more than John the Baptist was. Now, in truth, the disciples were actually doing the baptizing. John the Baptist was doing his best to try to convince the Pharisees that this is the way things must be. Jesus must now become greater, and he must become lesser. John the Baptist told them that he was not the Christ, but he had been sent ahead of him. Now, when Jesus hears of these things, he decides to go back to Galilee. Now, the direct route from Judea to Galilee would be to go straight through Samaria. Most Jews, however, avoided this route. It was full of the Samaritans, whom at that time were unacceptable, the unclean, as far as the Jews were concerned. But Jesus takes this route anyway. So now Jesus is at the town of Sychar in Samaria by Jacob's well. He's resting because it's midday, and he is tired, and he is thirsty. And then a Samaritan woman comes along to draw water, and Jesus says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" I'm sure her first response was probably of shock, and probably some uncertainty, maybe even some confusion. She says, "I'm a Samaritan, and you are a Jew." Jews don't associate with Samaritans. In those times, Samaritans were said to be unclean and unacceptable. And moreover, it was also not appropriate for any man or woman who didn't know each other to talk to each other. But Jesus knows who she is, and he speaks up and begins a conversation. Now, in verse 9, the Samaritan woman tries to use the current social rules to explain why she cannot talk to him or why Jesus should not be talking to her. But Jesus breaks the barrier. He goes on to tell her that when you drink the water from this well, you again will be thirsty. If you drink the living water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. Now she's intrigued and wants to know more. What is this water? How can I get it? And then Jesus surprises her again by telling her to go and get your husband. She answers, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "You're right. You had five husbands, and the man that you're with now is not your husband." She's amazed and believes that Jesus is a prophet. She's now feeling a little bolder, a little more comfortable, and continues the conversation with Jesus and tells him that their fathers worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim Jerusalem as the place of worship. And Jesus answers that the day will come when they will not worship on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. They will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. These are the worshipers that the Father is looking for. She says she knows the Messiah is coming, and he will explain everything to them. It is then that Jesus reveals that he is the Messiah that she is speaking of. And at that moment, the disciples came back and were shocked to see him talking to this woman. They did not say anything to Jesus. The woman then leaves and goes back to the village to tell everyone about what she has learned and with whom she has been speaking. While the woman is gone, the disciples tried to get Jesus to eat, and he says that he has a food that they know nothing about. He then talks about the sower and the reaper, as today's gospel said, how they do not see the harvest right in front of them that someone else has sown. They now get to be the reapers of this harvest where someone else has already sown. Now many of the Samaritans came back to see Jesus because of what the Samaritan woman had told them. They invited Jesus to stay with them for a few days, and they realized who he was and then believed. Now, was the Samaritan woman giving a testimony to the people when she went back to the village? Was she indeed evangelizing? Was it her feet that walked to the people? Was it her voice that told them about whom she met, and that she believed he may even be the Messiah? Was it her eyes that opened and saw Christ? Was it her ears that heard the words that Christ spoke to her? Was it her hands that drew the water for a man that she did not know and should not even have been speaking to? The answer to all those questions is quite obviously yes. This Samaritan woman came to believe in what she saw and wanted to tell others. Jesus showed her very early on in the very first conversation that there should be no barrier between people and God. There should be no barrier or apprehension today to tell others about Christ. It doesn't matter what their class of life is, whether they are homeless, drug addict, alcoholic, a doctor, a lawyer, physically disabled, accountant, prostitute, or mentally disabled. Christ saw the good in everyone and wants us to do the same. And I should rephrase that he demands that we do the same. Hence, it's your eyes in which he looks with compassion on the world. Is your hands that can be an extremely powerful tool to show Christ's love. From holding the hand of a loved one or someone who's in trouble, dying, sick, or scared, to helping rebuild a home or simply lending a helping hand to a neighbor or someone you don't even know. Yours are the hands in which he blesses the world. It's your feet that can take you to wherever you're needed. Wherever there is a cry or a plea for help or support, if you want to. Yours are the feet in which he walks to do good. Yours are the ears to hear the needs and the cries of the world, to be the compassionate listener to those who simply need to be heard. In John 14, it says, "Very truly I tell you, who believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Christ is telling us that we have the ability, if we believe, to do even greater things than what he did. Me, you, all of us have the ability if we trust in Jesus. He will give us the strength, the words, everything we need. Now, does this mean that tomorrow I'm going to wake up and in the paper I'm going to see that a bunch of people have walked across the Schuylkill River? No, I don't think so. Or is there someone's going to raise the dead? No, I don't think so. What it means is that it will be your works of love and your message of life in union with Christ that will point people to the glory of the risen Son of God. You will be the instrument of their forgiveness on the basis of the finished work of Christ. This will be greater than Jesus' earthly miracles, because this is what he came to accomplish by his death and resurrection. It is by your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your body that you will show people the glory of Christ. Because Christ has no body on earth but yours. So will you let your eyes, your hands, your feet, and your entire being be the body that Christ has now on earth? Will you be like the Samaritan woman whom, after believing, would show people and tell people about the love of Christ? Or will you avoid telling people you find different than you or unacceptable in the eyes of our society? Avoiding those who do not fit the so-called norm of today. Will you avoid the Samaritans of today because of some perceived notion? This Samaritan woman came to the well in the heat of the day because she believed that she would not be seen by others, ridiculed, or even having to listen to insults about what she was. She would be there alone. Jesus saw something more in the Samaritan woman and was not afraid to talk with her because of what she had done or whom she was. Was his route to Samaria on purpose? I believe so. How often do we avoid going to those places where people hide or are ashamed or are tired of being ridiculed? We must be the example and be that light that Christ has placed in us, not to be hidden, but revealed in all its great glory to everyone. Amen.